This is grilled.
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 Grilled by the staff canteen. But not grilled like you'd grill a piece of fish. Or anything you want to grill, really. More grilled as in, like, we're going to grill you with questions. We want to know what's inside of you. What's going on in your mind, in your brain. Show us your f***ing feelings.
Hello and welcome to Grilled, the podcast by the staff canteen. My name is JP McMahon. I'm a chef and restaurateur in Galway, Ireland. Over the next few podcasts, we'll be discussing food trends in 2024. Today, I'm delighted to have the wonderful Mike and Beck Bailey, formerly of Two Michelin Star Amshire, with me today to discuss mostly non-alcoholic drinks, but also probably lots of other things as well. Mike is currently, with her husband Jordan in the consultancy and private dining company Beck Bailey, which has been doing wonderful things in Ireland. So you're very welcome, Mikan.
Thank you very much.
And it's great to have you on this these few podcasts, not only kind of shining a light on, I suppose, what we do in Ireland and how, I suppose, the food culture is changing, but also, I suppose, important things that I think that for restaurants and for hospitality industry going forward. And I was actually lucky enough to take part in one of your masterclasses. And even though I like to play around with juices in our own restaurant, it was great to get another side. And also, I think to bounce some ideas off, because I think there's so few people doing it in Ireland, and there is such a gigantic gap. And before I let you introduce yourself, I always think, like, one of the most memorable juice pairings I had was in 2015 in Noma, the first time we ever went to Noma, and we had a wine pairing and a juice pairing. And that was the first time I ever realized that juice pairings could match wine, no problem, mm-hmm. but also add so much more to the food than wine could. Because mm-hmm. when wine has alcohol and it's great, but the way in which the kind of vegetal and the fruit complemented the food was actually more on point than as a pairing. And I remember I was with Regan at the time, and we were talking about this and going, God, there's so much work in this. Anyway, that is my experience. So I suppose, do you want to just kind of introduce yourself and, I suppose, let people know who you are and how you came to be in a few minutes.
Yeah, it's like at the moment got a private dining and consultancy company. Before that, here in Ireland, we had a little two Michelin star restaurant called Armchair, which I was the general manager and running of. And before that, I've been very lucky to work at Henne Kirkeby in Denmark, at Mamo in Oslo. So my background is basically in front of house and in wine and in juices. So I think the whole thing just started, what, have to be 10 years ago at Henne, when I was introduced to pairing with food, just generally pairing with food. But especially the juice aspect. I didn't start drinking myself before I was 21. So I always feel like, I think for my generation, probably a little bit the weird one, you know, be the one with a water bottle, because I wouldn't drink, you know, not big fan of, you know, Coca-Cola and sweet drinks and things when I was younger, just nature. So I think I naturally, when I got into the fine dining world, saw like a specific need for the person that didn't want to drink. And I think from that on, it's just been a thing that I love, you know, work with, lead with, both work when I worked at Henne, was allowed to work with the juices, the Mamo, and when we worked in Armchair, had full lead and full range of it. And as you said, I, you know, work with the wines as well. So I find the juices so much easier, and there's so much more that can be done. When you deal with wines, you have to find the product. When we deal with juices, we have to make them. So we can add a lot more depth to it. So I think it's been a very natural thing for me to work with, and I always find it excited, not because it was, like, as you said, this new, like, trend thing. I just think it's amazing what that can be done with it. And I love being in the kitchen when I'm allowed. When we finished Amshed to start a new chapter in our life last year in April, I start playing around with the idea of doing a few master classes because, as you said, I've been very lucky to be invited to Food on the Edge before we even opened the restaurant to talk about juices. And I've seen like a massive interest in it. And I feel, let's say, I think there are a gap in the market that if you even go to like really fine dining, high-end restaurant, they do like really amazing things across the line, or you're going into like, you know, just like your day-to-day really busy, you know, cafe restaurant that don't have the same people around it to make it on a day-to-day basis,
Yes.
and then trying to streamline a little bit about like what can we do at home and how can we make it easier in the restaurant and make it more interesting as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the you touched on it a little bit there, and we can get into your own juices that you're hopefully going to get into the market soon. But I think what took us so long, I mean, we only started a juice pairing last year in an ear, so that was 2021, and the first time I had a juice pairing was 2015, and I think it was that difficulty about whose responsibility it was and who, and we spoke about this, and because it is technically food, and at the moment the chefs are making them, and the front of house are still very skeptical, going, oh, I don't know, what is this? And we have our sommelier, and he's very interested in wine, and like he it's not that he doesn't. It's like the juices are like are situated below the wine, you know, and it's we're getting there. We're only, but I think that's one of the biggest difficulties we found is that it's at trying is are the chefs going to make it? Are the front of house going to make it? Are we going to put the two people together? So other than having a budget to have a juice sommelier, which would be that's what I would love. I would just love to have a juice sommelier. It's just about that difficulty, and for restaurateurs who are listening or people in hospitality, how would you describe the process about like it's almost like a coming together, you know, of the front and the back of house.
It like 100% isn't, and as you said, it's like I think it depends on, you know, the scale you work and how big the restaurant is. But very often when you are a sommelier, you know that I go so many hours and education in to find the right wines, and it takes so long time. So the process of actually making, taking them away from the main focus on the restaurant. That say, I do also think because of the way when you are sommelier, you know, the palate is developed, you know, they train to pair things with food. That's the reason why we really need their input in things. So I think, you know, I've been very lucky, you know, I've been, you know, my partner, he's the chef, and I've been working with him for, oh, the last 8 years is it now, and in kitchen and restaurants together. So I've been very lucky in a way when I come with the idea of a juice, Jordan would be like, oh, but we can ferment this and we can do this and we can, you know, if you do this, it's very easy. And what we saw as well in Amshare was that we would go into the kitchen together on a day when the kitchen wasn't open, do the recipe, and then have the chef making it because our kitchens were so small as well. So they would make it, but then we would have to come in and taste it because every time you make a juice, like food, you need to season it, you know? So
That's
it's not one
it's so
recipe that it
interesting.
is, as you said, it is that link of like working really well together or having someone, as you said, I love the word you just used, like juice sommelier. Because I said, like, I think we get into like a era, hopefully, and trends where that actually become a thing as we have water and tea sommeliers, that we also have someone that actually specific educated in doing non-alcoholic pairing because it's become more and more relevant in the DNA we're living in today, as well as being a wine sommelier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's funny you mentioned the seasoning there, because sometimes like Claudio, my head chef, would make them and then he'd give it to Mark and the sommelier and he'd taste and he'd go, I need to season it a bit with some acidity, or it needs more sweetness, or it needs a bit of salt, or like, so it is really like food, and then you have to taste it every day and then go, oh, do you know, does it need a little bit of a zing or something like that? But it is, I think it's such a wonderful way, particularly to when you're interested in wild food and seaweed and things, it's such a wonderful way to mirror the landscape. It's such, do you know what I mean? Because it's such a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
That you go out and it's if it's autumn, you're looking at different juices, or if it's the winter or spring or summer. And I think that's for me, it's up there with food in its ability to capture the
Yeah.
season. Sometimes with wine, of course, wine is seasonal and that, but once it's in the bottle and it's the age and it's the date, you're kind of you sometimes you know, oh, this is a Pinot Noir from this area and it's 2018. I kind of have a rough idea what this is going to taste like. Whereas
Yeah.
with juices, it's always so interesting because depending on what apples you use, depending on there's just limitless potential. And I really feel that, or I hope that it becomes more of a staple and less of a trend, you know.
Yeah. But I also think it's like, when we talk a lot, like one, big subject, as we have been talking about before, is like sustainability has become a massive part, and it's important that we all are looking at the environment, but even from the kitchen side, very often the waste that you put in your food bin, the peels of your carrots, the
Yes.
peels of it, like all these things are things that we very easily can use to infuse into juices to add another layer to it. So I think even on that aspect, when you're a restaurant owner, that you can actually use everything. And as you say, when you work seasonality, like there's nothing wrong with the peels. You're just not
Yeah.
necessarily able to serve it on a plate to a guest. But if they wash through and they dehydrated and they infused into like, apple juice or something, you create something quite and you get another new dimension. So I think it's like it really gives me time now as well to like look at everything we do when we talk juice, and also look at it like as like a restaurant product. Look at it as like if you are like as you said, you went to one of my master class, and the series you just did is very about like what can people make at home and how can we make it delicious and very easily, and how are we not afraid of playing around? Because I think the thing is like, for example, our guests that went to, when you come to Armchair, or you're going to Noma, or you go to like Cole in London, they're doing like amazing juice pairing, and you sit and taste all these things, and you go home, and you're like sometime when we present things, it sounds so simple but so elegant that I think people get afraid of take the produce and actually work with it at home, where a lot of things we have in home on a day-to-day basis. I'm doing education on tea at the moment. And even as I said, like when we infuse things, like, if we just know a little bit about tea, which most people know how to like brew like a pot of tea each, like you can do so much with that just at home. And as I said, like you can do that in the restaurant that very easy can elevate what you're serving for the guests. If we put like pairing aside, because I said, like, I think sometimes people get too focused about if we do a non-alcoholic option to do a pairing. When I said that, like, if you don't drink, you'll be very happy just the effort put it into two glasses instead of necessary seven. Do you know? Like,
Yeah,
I think
100%.
sometimes like when you start, that people do think that they have to have this like whole beautiful
No,
range
yeah.
of juices, the individual match. When, like I said, like a good starting point is just literally do like an aperitif in one other glass, and people be very happy to have that instead of a Coke because they're gone like thoughts into it. And it also builds up, I think, as you said, that juice sommelier, there are someone in the team, very often working in front of house, that like to do these like one or two things, or the mixologists get a little bit interested in it, and they see the guests love it, and they get comfortable about what they're doing. And then they start to, create that range of juices. And so instead of being a trend, be something that everyone could do and play a bit with.
And I think even as in the master class, you were using Highbank apple juice, and sometimes we would use like there's so many great companies producing very pure juices
Yeah.
that you can use as a base, and that like there's of course apple juice is a good example. So I think sometimes yeah, the people set themselves up with oh my God, this is a gargantuan task, but there's so
Yeah.
many wonderful products, and even if we take Highbank alone, like in terms of like they have an apple juice, they have a vinegar that's acidity, they have a orchard syrup. You could nearly make just a juice with that and just put that. And so I think that particularly when we went to Noma the first time, and I remember talking to the juice person, it was a sorrel and elderflower, but they had used a roto evaporator, like a was like €17,000 worth of equipment, and it was amazing. But I was thinking, oh my God, we can't do this. We don't have this. And I think that sometimes people get afraid and go, I don't have any equipment. But I realized many years later that like all you need, as you said, is a pot, and you make a you infuse, and then you need an acidity, or you might need a salt, you might need a fat. And once you understand those basic elements, I think like it's literally the whole world opens up, you know?
If you just have a little bit of interest in cooking, just like a tiny little bit. It's like I'm very lucky that my grandmom, she got like little farm, and I'm very like homebred and like hunting and like home cooking. But I think if you just have a little bit idea about when you cook at home, how flavor works, and almost said, look at that when you do a juice. Look at it saying, when you say apple juice, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as a dessert, or you can look at it's like, when we have like roast pork and we have like, an apple jelly with it, you have potatoes, you might have like a parsnip puree. Like already there, parsnip but apple gonna go well together because you would put that on a plate. So I think, as she said, instead of, as a sommelier, you're trained to taste flavor and figure out what it tastes at. If you look at the juices from the way of like a cooking aspect and how we like to eat, like, dishes we like to eat, how they work together, it becomes a lot more fun to work with juices. That's what I get a lot of my inspiration from. It's like one thing is, the wine background. So, I'll taste thing and be like, oh, this would be amazing with, this wine that have like, cherries, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of herb on their nose. And then I go down and think, okay, how do I make the juice with it? Or I look at a different saying, I get a menu when we do consultancy and they like, okay, this is what we're using, this is what we have, and be like, okay, so if I wanted to elevate this dessert, what would I add on to add that extra layer on the plate, for example? So there's so many ways to do this one. I think chefs could have so much fun with it as well, because you're a lot more knowledgeable than we are in front of house, because we're not necessarily cooks.
Yeah, no, 100%. You just remind. There's a restaurant I was in Portugal once, and they did a. I it was a very simple. All they did was juice apples and celeriac, and then they strained it, and they gave that as an aperitif. And it was so. And it was nothing else in it. It was so clean and so refreshing. And I think that's what I love about juices. I mean, as much as I love wine and that, I mean, often, particularly if you have a tasting menu, the wine makes you tired, and you start to get tired, and your palate gets tired. But the amazing thing about juices is that they're very refreshing, and they kind of wake you up almost, you know. The really interesting thing that I took away from your masterclass was the correspondence between juices and making tea. And because the last time we ate at Noma, their juice pairing was in autumn, and it was mostly tea based. It was a lot of like kombucha tea. There was a rooibos. There was so many different flavors, like smoke and like just things that you just couldn't get out of wine. And it really captured that kind of autumnal experience. And I think that for me, that was a little eye opener of in terms of just infusing simple things like that.
And I think, as I say as well, like, in the master classes, I think, exactly, so like with the tea, it's just like when you get like, you can even go on Google and find it, but you get the sheet on like how many degrees each, herb, flower, fruit can take before it goes in and actually burns the oil sign and the fragrance in it, so it gets bitter. So again, I think when people have that chart, and as you said, like I met a lady yesterday that I've been to one of the master classes, and we were starting to chatting, and she was like, oh, I've got all these like Barry's tea, chamomile, mint, like all these at home. And I said, okay, instead of heat water, just trying to heat a normal apple juice and then use the different ones into it and taste it, because then you're making a juice, And the thing is as well, like, is like when we say juice, I normally call it non-alcoholic pairings, because I think juice is a very conflicting word, because very often we think juice, we think sweet. And as you said, like, is there so much more to it than sweetness? Because if it only sweet, as I like your palate get tired, we can have we feel full quicker. And also, sweetness doesn't always pair very well, due to dessert, but else is not necessarily a very good pairing when it comes to juices. So like it's even that is like, what like we very often talk about what do we call it? Are we calling it a juice if people misunderstand? Because it's not like a, so like a loads of the things that you say, like, they're so amazing, elegant, but you wouldn't drink a bottle of it. You would have a, a little glass, it would, refresh you, or add something to it. So I think that's the other conversation. As you said, like juice sommelier, is it juice, and where do these things balancing from being like the raw juice health product that you're doing to being this like gourmet non-alcoholic pairing options, and where did that define?
Don't forget to like and subscribe for more from Grilled.
It's so interesting to go and work with bartenders because we have so many substitutes product for like vodka, gin, whiskey, things like that. When I was like, sometime when I go, I'm just like, if you taste that raw product, could you make that yourself and could you make it better? Do you know,
I
could
think
you?
definitely in relation to I'm not, and even I'm not a big gin fan, but the non like non-alcoholic gin is a very good example. I mean, it's kind of like floral sweet water with maybe a bit of spice. And I honestly think for the price of it, every I mean, if you give a bartender or a mixologist a little bit of instruction, I honestly think they can make their own version of a non-alcoholic gin or whatever, you know, because it's really the juniper or whatever you're trying to capture, and that tea element. But you just remind me that I don't know if you've ever worked with Solaris Tea, and they're based in Galway. And Jorg is a forager. He was one of the first kind of like pure foragers I ever met. And I remember using years before juices, but making sauces with his tea bags. So you'd make a chamomile sauce, and so I think it, sometimes it's using. Tapping into what's already there, you know, and reaching out to a really good tea person or reaching out to a very good farm or that, and you, as you said, like it's as simple as putting a chamomile tea bag into apple juice, and then that's the beginning, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, I think one thing, because the philosophy that we had in the restaurant, we wouldn't work with spices, but spices is really amazing as well to like, in juices. Like, we have an Irish company called Fire, which is doing like a substitute product, but they use chili as like the mouthfeeling for the alcohol instead. And when, when you get into all of that and you start working with like, chilies and different varieties of peppers and, like your world is the oyster, you can do so much with it. And also like, I would love people to work, seasonal because we love doing that. But if people are really new to it, are nothing wrong with going down and, as you said, like buy apple juice and a few different teas into just to get a flair of it. If you serve something in a restaurant and everyone is like, yeah, this is nice, I could drink that. 110, your guests would be really happy about it as well. And put it into a wine glass and it's just like, it just elevates it.
I do think that like what's so important, and like especially with say we can talk about your own juices now, the bottle and that, the presentation is so important, because I think when you put them in a nice bottle and you serve into a wine glass, there's a massive psychological aspect happening there. And I even think it's the same when if I have a non-alcoholic beer in a lovely glass, you know. Half your brain is already there in terms of, oh, I'm having a glass. Oh, I'm having some. Do you know? So I think that it is. I think people forget that. Also, one aspect of it is glassware and the bottle and the aesthetics of the presentation that I think is so important.
100%, but it's even just like as it's like it's the same way as like when we go and eat in restaurants, like the crockery we get down, the cutlery we sit and eat with, like we all seen the movies and we've all grown up about what is fancy, you know, what is elevated. And as you said, just that little thing, that's like the first thing, you know, when I did my first talk with yourself at Food on the Edge 6 years ago now. That was the key thing I talked about, was actually the glassware, because I would go around to restaurants and they would put the juices into water glasses. And I was
Oh
like,
no, I know.
why? Do you know, because it just elevates. And that's the same thing, that's the reason we put like a cocktail into like all these beautiful cocktail glasses, is because it's elevated what we are serving. It makes this more premium. I believe that this is not only a trend, I believe the way that we live and we think have changed. This, like, a lot of us think more sustainable, we look more at our health, you know, like I said, and people still want to go out and have like really beautiful, nice dinners on a Wednesday night and not necessarily drink, because as you said, you know, you might have a headache the day after. Unfortunately, alcohol allergies is a thing that, you know, been raising as well over the last 5 years, and the thing that we see more and more common. So that loads of benefits with the juices, and it's the same way as restructuring about, like, you know, peanut allergies and things like that. You know, people are getting sick at alcohol. So we just have to change and make sure that we are able to cater for these guests as well.
No, I think it's so important. And I had mentioned to you about before Christmas, we had two vegans in who had two juice pairings. And you know, we like 10 years ago, we would not have done that. We wouldn't have been able to do it, or we like it took us up a very long time to get there. But I think now that we're there, I realize that, I mean, we're in the business of hospitality, you know, and we have to welcome, we have to try and welcome guests. And I think that it's in restaurants' power to say, oh yeah, okay, you can't eat this or you can't eat that, and okay, you don't have alcohol, to try and offer something, particularly at the higher end of the spectrum. And I think it's quite, I mean, sometimes when I'm in Spain, I find it quite disappointing in the sense that there's no catering for anyone. It's like this is our menu, and that's what we do. And I understand sometimes kitchens are small and sometimes, but I think if you have limitations, I think that's fine. But if you're limiting yourself, I think because of your ego, because you say, I'm not serving vegetables, or I'm not serving vegetarians, or I'm not doing juice because I don't like juices, I think sometimes it's quite reductive. And I think, as you said, I think it's a change more than a trend. And I think we have to kind of join it, however slowly we do, you know?
And even as I said, like, you know, very often when we, you know, doing the front of house training, I think most people are in this industry. The reason we are here is hopefully because we want some happy guests. You know, we want some people to come in the door and have an amazing experience and be really happy. And I think sometimes if we do the role plays and we just, you know, literally sit down as a guest in our own restaurant and get people serve us, I think we very quick see the very small things that we can do to elevate. As you said, like, you know, serve your juices into a wine glass, add a fraction to like one of the juices, the same way as we do with cocktails. Like, there's so many small things that we can do which makes the guests feel special, do you know, and makes people leaving being happy. And as it doesn't even only need to be fine dining, do you know, it
Oh,
is as
no, no,
well,
no.
like, you know, hotel bars, you know, things like that. When you go in, it's just have that feeling that you are catered for. Like, you know, we have amazing non-alcoholic bars when that's all they're doing. But I think there's been a little bit of a misconception for a few years that even you drink or you don't. There are not
Yeah,
there.
yeah.
Oh, I just want 2 glasses of wine and then I'm happy on doing mocktails. Do you know? I think
Yes.
that becomes more and more a thing when you don't want to be the party killer because you don't want to get drunk. But most people, like I said, like, you know, if you go out even for business meeting or, you know, out and around and you're out on a Thursday night and you know you're going to be out Friday, Saturday as well or something, you just can't drink that amount of alcohol. Do you know? So just have that something that, you know, is as elevated and it's not a question. Do you know? It's just like, it just makes the person feel a part of the group still. You know, like when we talk about trends, like it's a little bit like smoking. You know, that's the way I'm saying it. When you look at, you know, people sitting having wine and you one person that don't have it, you know, the same being the one person that don't smoke, but how can we include that person into it and make that person feel as special the whole way through? I think that was kind of like my statement when I started, because I said for many years I was that person that was like, okay, she don't drink. And I was like, okay, that doesn't mean that I'm no fun, do you know? Like you can still be as fun and not having the drink. And I think that's the reason it becomes a trend, because more and more people don't drink. Is that like I've been asked now to go into schools and teach them about juices, because we have a new generation of people that don't drink alcohol when they like 16 years old, do you know? And I think that is a healthy thing, do you know, to like show like you can still go and, I don't know, have a party and like make fancy drink, but it doesn't need to contain alcohol and it can still be as fun. Even I have Hindu requests about doing like master classes when I was like, that's really amazing. And they are gonna have drinks afterwards, but just like I think it's very interesting that the way that we're turning with it, that as you know, said like with, for example, the Hindu is like, you know, they 20 ladies and they are gonna go out and have a blast, but she's like, I don't wanna start at 12 o'clock being like drunk because I'm not gonna contain myself until like midnight then. So I think it is that like instead of being either or, that we do a mix of it. And so like we have sometimes an armchair when we have guests saying, I would love to do a pairing, but I can't do a whole wine pairing and I not only want to do juices. Could you recommend that we did like a mix between the juices and the wine, for
Well,
example, as well?
no, I completely agree with you, and I think that so many times that we've gone to restaurants, and if they have a juice pairing, we've had one of each, because you want to experience both as well, and also maybe you don't want to get as tired, or you don't want to drink as much. And I think definitely we have positioned, and I don't know if it's only an Irish thing, or maybe it's a world thing as well. It's that we put people in the box, either you drink or you don't drink, and it's, I think there's a massive middle, whereas you said, you can have a glass of wine and then go, oh, do you know, I'd love a non-alcoholic drink next. And you don't, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm going out, I'm gonna have to have wine, or beer. You can mix it up. And I think that that's the beauty of it. And as you said, I think that the more education that we can get, and it's great that schools are inviting you in, because I think that we just need this on a larger level. The same with them with food. And I was talking to Owen Klusky yesterday about food education, and trying to start at the primary school, and not to make things complicated, but showing people how to fry an egg and roast a chicken, and things that we take for granted, because I think, oh, everyone knows how to do that. And I think that if we give people options, I think that then hopefully we will have more sovereignty over the things that we either eat, or that we drink.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, even as you said, like I think, you know, I think the world is just changing the way we're looking at everything and, you know, and everything we do. And I just think, you know, we just have to be really open-minded about it, you know? And as I said, like, you know, it's not better or worse to drink wine or drink juice, but juices is meant to be an experience and not, you know, just be, as you said, it's not meant to be difficult. It's meant to be as exciting and as experienced. And as you said, like, you know, I love when people come to the restaurant, they were like, oh, you know, we actually come because we really want a juice pairing. Do you know, you want to create something so amazing that people are like, oh, you know, I'm coming, you know, because of the restaurant, the name and the food, but I'm also coming because of the drinks. Do you know? And I think that is the thing with the juices that are so unique, with the team can create, is like the way they pair. The same reason you go for wine pairings in different restaurants, do you know? It's like because each sommelier have a different identity and feel wine works different with food, do you know? They're nothing more excited when like that's what I'm sitting looking at like, oh, wine pairing, which restaurant should I go to? And do you know, show the identity of the team that are behind it and how they work together to create that and make that really exciting for the guests as well.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you want to talk a little bit about your own juices? And I know they're at a very early stage, and I tried them, and I think it's a great idea, and I love the presentation and the little wax top, and like they're very elegant as well. And I think it's hopefully they will feel a little niche of places, as you said. It's not all about fine dining, and certainly sometimes when I talk about food, people always think I'm only talking about fine dining, and I'm like, I'm talking about like getting something nice to eat in a petrol station, or
Yeah.
having something in a casual restaurant or a cafe. Or, but I think that this product, hopefully that you launch, will fill a little gap for places that don't have the time possibly to make their own.
Yeah, so I think it's like, it's very simple, isn't it? And it's a thing that probably been brewed on for a few years now. But basically, we're working on, or I'm working on the moment, is to launch like, again, I'm working on what to call like gourmet juices, but like pairing juices, like things that are more than just a simple juice to like elevate with food. And as you said, like, I think it's because I've seen a gap both at hotels, and restaurants as well, that is like, as if they're gonna be a whole lineup of different ones, so you can do like a whole pairing with it, but it's also more to be
Go.
like, that in take few years to take things to a certain way. So it's more to be like, if you assemble have your own team of, a sommelier that are making juices and they just don't know how to get that to like I call it the red wine level. Do you know? We would have a juice that very have the same mouthfeel and taste as a red wine and can be used in the same way, but also say like, big hotels where that's not priority, it's not the time to, but be able to offer the customer an elevated juice experience. Because like that was the thing that I've been looking for myself for many years. So that's the whole idea behind it. I'm really excited for it. I already got a few restaurants that are very interested in it. And as I said, like, it also like, it sounds weird, but like simple as like, wedding, dining clubs, things like that, as I said, like we do private dining and, we're very lucky that, we share front of house and do the juice and everything yourself. But, for some of all the big companies, that do all these big arrangements and things like that, instead of just be your Coca-Cola, your soda, like just find a way when we can offer something elevated very easily, to just, yeah, where the small gaps is. So yeah, I'm working on it. I'm really, really excited for it. I'm excited to go out and meet some amazing teams,
And when do you hope you'll because we only tasted two, but when do you hope you'll that you might have some on the market then?
Probably over the next 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and as I said, like it's just like the last few things that, I think a big part for me, and which is very important, always been like seasonality and the sustainable aspect of it. How are things made? How do we contain? How do we continue working with like all the small suppliers that we have supported? So it's to, finalize all the last bits, and also be, as I said, go to the right market the right way. So for me, it's a passion project, juices, and I really, I love to see it in hotels and restaurants, and things important people know what to do with it as well, because it is a very niche thing, pairing food with wine and drinks. So it's to create that.
No, it sounds great, and I hope they take off. And as you said, they'll be a niche product.
And I think that was the thing. It's not gonna be, so like it's not the new Vittin and it's not the new Coca-Cola. That's not the plan of it. It's genuinely just to find and help with that little niche area. And as you said, it's again, it's not that people need to I create a whole line because I do really have a passion and I can see that work there, that work there. But as much saying oh, we make, I don't know, three different juices and I just think this could be really cool to the same way as you work with wine. I would love people at some point hopefully look at it the same way when it's like, oh, that juice that she made, that would just go really well with this dish. And see people working with different pairings. I would love that. As I said, I would love to, the same way as so many use wine, people use the juices and work with them on different ways and different pairings and come out and see it. That would be the dream for me, that people are not afraid of that.
No, that's great. Listen, it was wonderful talking to you, Maiken. I wish you all the best. And I think what you and Jordan are doing in Ireland is wonderful. I think shining a light on Irish food, its ingredients, its culture, and I think it's really important because sometimes I think that we don't shout about Ireland enough. I think as Irish people, sometimes we keep very quiet, and so sometimes I think we need people who are not from Ireland to come in and almost tell us that stuff is good. And I realized that through Food on the Edge, bringing over different chefs and saying, God, this is an amazing product. Why don't you think it's world class? And I think, yeah, it's we often don't have the confidence. I know it's changing, but I think to have the confidence in our own food culture. And I think the more people that get involved, the better it gets. So thank you very much.